Welcome to the Home Service Pro Podcast. Today I have with us Nate Cox. Nate has been with a friend of Cura Home for a long time on social media, but we've never jumped on a call together. So super excited. Nate, welcome to the call.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So Nate, if no one has heard of your company before, tell us who you are, where you are. What does that look like?
Yeah. So as you can see, I'm Nate. I'm the owner of Nate's Dryer-Vent Cleaning out of Central Florida here, which is described as the Space Coast because I can look out my front door and see rocket launches, whether it's Boeing or SpaceX launch, you know, just about 10 miles away. So I launched this company in the summer of 2018. I had moved down to Florida in October of 2015. And leading up to that time, I was doing this line of work in Virginia, which is where I'm formerly from.
Okay. Awesome. So tell us about your business model. Like, what are the services? You say dryer vent cleaning, but you know, I know you do a lot more than that. Like, tell me, like, what are you doing besides just cleaning a dryer vent? Like, you're not the guy to show up, clean a dryer vent in 5 minutes and leave. Like, what is your business?
Yeah, great question. And I appreciate the differentiation. You know, in this line of work, in this trade, there's kind of a running inside joke in our industry. There's a difference between your average dryer vent cleaner that's just in and out to make a quick buck versus a dryer vent specialist, people who can do repairs, who can do installs, who can not only diagnose problems, but present plausible solutions. So sure. The gentleman that trained me in Virginia was what we call a certified dryer exhaust technician. That credential or that certification is offered by the Chimney Safety Institute of America. They do a dryer vent certification, and they do a variety of chimney certification. So I learned this from a certified guy, and we do, what we tell people is we do any and all things related to dryer vents. We specialize not just in cleanings, but repairs, installs, and the installation of other products that help either further optimize the performance of the machine or safety of it, or help keep critters out, of course. Mm-hmm. And what we have found that many people do not know is that dryer manufacturers look at this service as two halves. Half of number one is the obvious, the vent cleaning half. Mm-hmm. And half number two is not so much the obvious, which is the appliance clean out. Dryer manufacturers refer to that as the interior cabinet of the dryer clean out. And the reason why they offer that half, or they recommend that half of the service, is because your vent system could be clean as brand new or clean as a whistle, mm-hmm. but the more flammable lint that builds up in your machine, the higher the risk for a dryer fire. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a firefighter to figure that out. You know, right. Lint is flammable. That's why a lot of Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts use lint as fire starter material. Mm-hmm. So most companies out there who offer dryer vent cleaning services do not offer the complete service. So it's very important that when people are shopping around for a company, they ask very good questions. Hey, do you take apart my dryer and clean out around the motor and the wire and the heating element and that inside cabinet? Because, you know, if you've seen any of the content that we post on social media, we frequently remove huge chunks of charred, burnt, roasted lint. Mm-hmm. And we are thinking to ourselves, and then you can see it start connecting the dots in the customer. Had they hired a company that would have only came and cleaned out their vent, they would have not been any more safer. Correct. So yeah, we offer the complete service. We're very familiar with building code as it pertains to dryer vent stuff, along with, of course, manufacturer's recommendations. We're on the up and up with all of that. And we're all about, you know, most trades adopt the idea of continuing education. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely one of them. There is definitely a need for continuing education. And perhaps we can circle back to that comment a little bit later.
Yeah, for sure. So that's great. And just to explain that a little bit more, you know, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. He's like, oh, you can clean dryer vents in 10 minutes. I was like, no, you can't. Like, you can't do that. So how many, like, Nate, like, how many, on a typical day, how many jobs are you doing in a day for these clients? Is it, you know, 3 to 5? Like, what does a typical day look like for you and your company?
Yeah, great question. So I have two full-time techs that run different schedules. And then I do a handful of jobs out in the field, usually in the mornings, and then I do other business related stuff in the afternoon. So one of my technicians, who is on a 4-10 schedule, he does about 7 jobs a day.
Okay.
The other technician does about 5 or 6 jobs. When we're doing the complete service, we can get in, and we're not in a rush to get in and out, but doing the complete service, we're in and out of a home in anywhere from about 50 minutes to about 80 minutes, sure. 90 minutes max. It depends on circumstances. Like, is the dryer super dirty? Obviously, if the dryer is super dirty, it's going to take longer to clean. If it's a super tight situation, like a laundry closet or a tight laundry room where the appliances don't have a whole lot of freedom of movement, then mm-hmm. that means we have to work slower. So on average, my two guys outside of me are doing about 12 to 13 jobs a day, not including myself. And that's the full service.
Sure. Yep. And are you guys also offering like rebuilds if you find that dryer vents are not up to code, or do you refer that out?
Yeah, great question. So whenever we go to someone's house, if they have an exhaust system that is either A, not up to code, or B, not recommended by manufacturers, then what we like to do is we're all about fully informing people so that they can make fully informed decisions. Sure. I believe that you can't make a fully informed decision without being actually fully informed yourself.
Right.
So, you know, if someone has, for example, like that foil hose or that white plastic, that old fashioned, like white plastic ductwork, or even maybe even PVC. Now here in Florida, PVC is allowed under one exception, and that's if it goes underground.
Okay.
And I'm not a PVC specialist, but when you Google it, apparently PVC can create static electricity.
Yeah.
Which you don't want with obviously flammable lint. But I guess the logic is if the vent system is underground and it catches on fire, well, it's underground. I assume that's the logic. Sure. But to finish answering your question, if we run into a situation where they have like foil or that thin plastic white version of the foil, we tell people that's really not cleanable material, that there's a 50-50 chance or so that it could get ripped or otherwise compromised during the cleaning process. And as a result, we recommend repiping it and constructing a totally new vent. Mm-hmm. And even if it doesn't rip on the first go around, because we do clean that material and we do it a little bit differently, we go slower and such. And if we do clean that material successfully, then we tell the customer that even though it was successful once, if you hire a different company, it might not turn out that way. Or the reality is the more cleanings, it's going to wear out. That material is just very inherently poor quality. So just like it's very similar to the insulation ductwork you see in attics, eventually that silver insulation that's covering the AC duct is going to get translucent mm-hmm. with age. And that's kind of how that foil duct works. So we're happy to do repairs. We're happy to do full installs. We have a full install coming up on Monday.
Sure.
And we have a full install actually going on tomorrow. It's probably going to be about a 4-hour project.
Okay. Awesome. So as you're building your business and having technicians working for you, like what are some things that have done really well for you from like a business standpoint to grow it? Are you depending on referrals? Are you doing like door to door? Is it social media? And you're very active on social media, so that's a dumb question, but are you running ads? Like how, when people are calling you or finding out about you, how are they finding you?
Yeah, great question. Most of that is word of mouth referrals, and whether it's whether it's online and so people's social circles, if you will, or whether it's, you know, face-to-face conversations. And then another big referral generation for us is Google. We're approaching 800 5-star reviews on Google. So when people see those 5 stars and the amount of them, mm-hmm. it's kind of a no-brainer to at least inquire with the company.
Right.
But up until November, so I've been in business now, again, since on a part-time level, the summer of 2018. I went full-time with it in April 2019.
Okay.
I hired my first technician February or March of 2020. And that's when I started acquiring my first service vans in 2020 and moving forward.
Sure.
So when it comes to, I'm sorry, remind me the question again.
Yeah, just like when people are hearing about your company, how are they?
Oh, yes.
How are they finding you?
Yeah. So I never had a need to start doing paid advertisements until about the fall of last year. And it was only a borderline need because I had hired a technician about over a year ago. He's been with us for about a year and a half now. So in order to get the jobs where we needed to be to employ both guys at a full-time level, I decided, you know, I knew it was inevitable to have a marketing budget. So right now, you know, I've boosted Facebook posts from time to time and I've gotten business from that, but very rarely did I do that. Sure. And the marketing budget that I have now is really just for Google ads. Mm-hmm. But really most of our business has been word of mouth. People, our customer base really turns into what we call raving fans. Mm-hmm. And they turn into that because we pour, you know, every member of our team, whether it's from the first contact when they book the appointment, whether it's from the technician making an impactful experience, or whether it's me, I try my best to call as many customers as possible to have a quick conversation, a follow-up conversation after the service. So between all of those things, we're really putting an intentional amount of effort into bringing back good old-fashioned customer service. And people have an appetite for that. You know what I'm saying? People want to have good experiences, not bad experiences. Mm-hmm. So when they get that experience from us, it's like a no-brainer. They almost feel like compelled to share their experience in their social circles online and with their neighbors and so on and so forth.
Right, for sure. Because you're showing that, you know, hey, not all dryer vent cleaners are created equally. There is a difference in quality, which it's unfortunate that some people don't realize that, you know, when they call and they're just, you can tell they call and it's like, hey, how much does it cost my dryer vent to be cleaned? It's like, well, let me explain this, you know? So, yeah.
And we're really good at educating people over the phone. We rarely get people who say, oh, that's too much. Mm-hmm. And I've got an upcoming blog that I plan on publishing, and it's going to talk about not necessarily our cost, but cost in general. Mm-hmm. Because when people, if someone says, oh, you know, I, oh, you're, you know, someone might say, oh, you know, your competitor is $20 cheaper than you, mm-hmm. but they're comparing apples to oranges because they're not doing the dryer where we are doing the dryer. You know what right. I'm saying? Right. So we try to, we take the time, we almost always are able to fully inform the customer about our services and the why behind our services. So again, so that they can make a fully informed decision. And it's very rare where we don't get business because of our price point. Mm-hmm. Every year I call my competitors and I figure out what are they offering and what do they charge? Mm-hmm. And we're still not at the highest level yet. But circling back for what I was saying a second ago, you know, again, if someone were to hire an appliance repairman just for the purpose of coming out and cleaning out the dryer, they're going to get quotes from anywhere from like $165 to $265. And that's sure. just for that. That's not including the vent. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have a starting rate of $169. That covers the inspection, that covers the dryer cleanout, and that covers the first 18 feet of vent. Hmm. We charge $3 per foot after 18 feet. So, you know, a 28-foot vent, that's an extra 10 feet multiplied by $3 would be an additional $30. But sure. most of our customers, they pay only the $169 rate. But my point is that, you know, we're providing even when our price goes up next year, we're still providing an incredible value for what people are getting. They're getting top-notch customer service. They're getting both halves of the service, and they're getting honesty and integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Are you finding like what percentage of your business would you say is repeat? Like, are you getting a lot of people that are having you come out on an annual basis?
Yeah, that's a great question. Glad you asked. So right now I'm averaging about 15 to 17 repeats a week.
Okay.
A week. Yeah. And I've seen that climb earlier or last year, we were like around a dozen a week, and that's continued to climb. And I recently changed over. We were doing hard copy invoices up until March of this year. And yeah. I recently switched over to a CRM, House Call Pro, which a lot of people are familiar with. So mm-hmm. that's automated. That's streamlined everything. I'm a big fan of House Call Pro. I don't use every bit of their service, But my point is that that will start sending out annual reminders, either texts or emails. But aside from that, we'd offer something called forward scheduling. There's no contract or commitment involved, but the industry, as far as dryer manufacturers, fire departments, FEMA, and insurance companies, they recommend this service to be done every year or two. And so most people either need or want to be on a 12, 18, or 24-month schedule. And then we have, of course, commercial clients like daycares or hair salons or veterinarians or whomever that are doing much higher volume, and they're on either a quarterly schedule with us or a six-month schedule.
Sure.
So the way that the forwarding scheduling works is if we tell the customer at the end of the service, hey, we recommend, 1 to 2 years, or they already say, I definitely want to have you back in 1 to 2 years, then we'll say, well, the way that forward scheduling works is we incentivize that. We offer $15 off for that upcoming appointment. Yeah. If their parameter is 12 months or if their parameter is 18 months, whatever their parameter is between 12 and 24 months, or a quarter, every 3 months to 24 months, we will just pick a date. Then we will set a reminder on our end. We will reach out to them 4 weeks in advance of that date to say, hey, does this date still work for us and for them? Mm-hmm. If it does, we'll nail down the time. That way we're booking out our schedule 12 months, 18 months, 24 months down the road. They don't forget to get the service done, and they're rewarded with $15 off.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways that we are able to get repeat business, just along with, of course, because we're delivering high quality service, they're going to keep coming back. They're not going to go back to some subpar service after having a great experience with us.
Right. For sure. That's awesome. So I'm interested to know, how do you combat, so my first question is, are you doing a lot of commercial properties and like large, 60, 100, 150 unit. But my second one is, how do you combat with the guys who are coming in super low price and beating them out? So a two-part question there. Are you doing a lot of commercial work? What percentage of your business is like the large commercial, 50, 100, 250 unit apartments?
Yeah. So honestly, I cannot in good conscience tell you what percentage. I don't have that metric in my mind. What I can tell you is in a 12-month calendar period, we probably do at least a half a dozen commercial properties a year.
Sure.
And that's probably conservative.
Yeah.
I did one just a few months ago where you might have saw the content where I needed to rappel. So that was just a few months ago. Right now, we just completed day two of four at a condo project that we're doing. And then I just got wind that we're doing another project that's like 150 or 160 units. That'll start later on this year. So all I can tell you is we do probably at least 6 to 12 big complexes a year.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I beat the other people out? That's a good question. Some I've heard quite often, whether it's commercial or otherwise, that whoever their previous service provider was, I've heard so many times that people said that they just weren't pleased with them.
Yeah.
I just submitted a bid this past Friday, and that was the second time in about 3 years. The first time I was outbid. But the funny thing about that, and the reason why I bring it up, is because after that service provider fixed the situation or did the complex, we had gotten at least a half a dozen calls from people who were having problems because they didn't do the job correctly.
Right.
And that's just one example of many.
Mm-hmm.
So when I send a proposal, and I'll be happy to send you one if you want to see it, my proposals are like 7 pages. Wow. And people have probably never seen, but I've had so much positive feedback from property managers and HOA people. The complex that I just told you right now that we just finished day two of four, I think he said that I wasn't the lowest, but he said that they are all about high quality, and that he could tell from my conversation with me and the proposal that we were all about high quality.
Yeah.
So on page one, it has the number rundown. This is the price per vent. This is the price per dryer. We give a very slight price break for a bulk rate for dryer cleanouts. And then we tell people if the complex does not sign up for the dryer cleanout, then we want to have a sign-up sheet for each individual unit owner to add on the service while we're there.
Sure.
And this particular complex that I just referenced that we're just finished day two, they signed up for the complete service, even though, and I would say 50% to two-thirds of the time that does not happen, because they'll say, oh, the HOA is not responsible to, you know, to clean out other people's dryers. And I get it. But in some of those cases, what they'll do is they'll take the slight discount, then they'll turn around and collect that money from each individual resident. But my point is that we fully, so page one is the numbers. Page two is it starts going down, it starts educating. This is, here's information about our services. This is the why behind dryer cleanouts, because they don't, I don't assume that they know, and more than likely they don't know. So we fully inform them, this is what you can expect. I have a couple paragraphs of expectations that they can expect from me and my crew.
Sure.
I go into detail about, this is how we do the vent cleaning. This is the why and the how about the dryer clean out. We assume responsibility if a dryer doesn't work properly. It's not on you. It's on us. Mm-hmm. We'll come take a look at it. And then we provide before and after pictures and all that. All that's kind of neatly packaged in a Word document that gets sent out to the property manager that then is distributed to the HOA. So even though our prices might be slightly higher, when people know that we're the most well-reviewed company, it's just a matter of, do they want to go cheap and risk not having the job done correctly, or do they want to make sure that the job is going to be done correctly? And that's what it, what that's, I don't, honestly, I feel like I don't lose a whole lot of estimates. Mm-hmm. I don't lose a whole lot of bids. But there are some that I do. And then even the ones that I do, they've circled back to me 2 or 3 years later to get another one. So hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah. You know, Nate, I think what you've got going on is when you get in front of someone, they can sense your passion for providing the quality work that you want to, and calling your company compared to the next person that's just gonna, you know, doesn't really care about cleaning the dryer vent. I mean, just even some of the things that you've said on this call, no one else is saying those things, especially in the dryer vent industry. No one else is saying, if it isn't perfect after we leave, we take full responsibility. Like, people are not saying those things. And so I'm not surprised that you are getting all these calls, that you are winning these bids, that your business is growing mostly from like word of mouth and due to your reviews, because it's because of you. They can feel the passion. I mean, you're getting me excited about dryer vent cleaning, which what I will tell you is before this call, dryer vent cleaning to me, but you're like sparking this fire to, no pun intended, but it's like, you're making me excited about dryer vent cleaning, because it's obvious that there is another level to it. So, I asked that question because in Minnesota, we barely ever win these jobs. Like we do, I don't know if we've targeted them, but we probably do like 5 to 6 large commercial dryer vent jobs a year. But there's we're in an area that has 3.5 million people. There's a ton of apartment content. There's all these jobs to be had. But whenever we bid them, people be like, you're twice the cost. And we'll try to get it way down. I'm talking like $45-$50. And they're like, this guy's doing it for $18. And we've watched them do it. And they just literally, they have a lift and they just roll by, and the guy walks to one side. And as the lift is going, if he's not done during that 6-foot, lift while he's in that gate, if he's not done by then, it is what it is. His reverse blasting hose is coming out.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I'm like, I can't compete against that. There's just no way that I can put my name behind a 10 second like cleaning. And I'm like, if you want me to clean each one for 10 seconds, I can do it for less than that. I'm like, I can do it for less than $18, but I'm not going to stand behind it. Don't tell anyone that I'm the one who cleaned them. So
yeah. I've had a few people that said, can you clean it from the exterior only? And we tell people all the time, we have to go into every unit. Mm-hmm. And some of these property managers or complexes are used to that air compressor method where they only are doing it from the outside. But the problem is, if you don't go inside, even just for an inspection, mm-hmm. like there could, the dryer could be pushed back too far and the transition hose is crushed, which right. is considered a hazard. So if you're not going inside, and that's why, and one of the opening paragraph or one of the, in the first or second page of the explanation, I tell people that, you know, if this motive of yours of getting this project done, because that's a question that I ended up asking. I always do a walkthrough, a recon walkthrough, in regards to the project or the complex, so I can provide my best estimate. And in the course of that, I'll either ask the property manager and or somebody on the board, what is the purpose? What's the goal? What's the reason for this service? And so many times they'll say fire prevention, right? We want to prevent dryer fires. Well, that's good because dryer fires are the sixth leading cause of house fires, according to the NFPA's most recent report. Mm-hmm. So in my proposal, I say, if this is your prerogative, if you're looking to reduce the risk of a dryer fire, then you must do the dryer. And then I'll put like a bold sentence in there. If you do not sign up for dryer vent or the dryer part of the clean out, then in no way, shape or form am I responsible or are we responsible if a dryer fire happens a month or 6 months after we leave because they neglected that part of the service.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
you mentioned earlier talking about continuing education. What does that look like for you and your team?
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's just like first aid stuff, just basic stuff like that. We're going to be, if not later this towards the end of the year, at the beginning of next year, we're going to be doing some advanced first aid. Outside of that, last year, I think it was at the beginning of the year, me and my lead technician, because I was before I hired the other guy, we did a ropes and ladder safety course that was put on by rooftopsafety.com or .org, rooftop safety. The guy's name is Jim Brewer. Fantastic course. He's a former firefighter. He's like OSHA certified. He teaches some OSHA classes. That was a very informative class. And then one thing that we plan on, a couple of things on our agenda is I'm going to be acquiring some used dryers. And right now we take apart dryers. The way that we take them apart, we describe what we do as minimal disassembly. We don't take out the drums. We can clean out the dryer without taking apart the drums. But there's some dryers that like we don't get to the front of the machine, so we can't get to the blower wheel and such. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be acquiring a few different models so that we can get more familiar on other ways, because there's usually more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak, or take apart a dryer. So we're going to get more proficient in dryer disassembly.
Right.
And then the other thing that we're actually concurrently learning about right now is humidity in relation to temperature and dew point. Because I don't know about where you are, but we get so many calls every summer starting around May where people call us and say, hey, I opened up my dryer and my dryer drum is sweating, or there's like a couple of tablespoons of pulled up water in the dryer drum, whether that's from new customers or repeat customers. And it has there's only a few different reasons, about three or four different reasons why condensation and water accumulate in either the dryer or the dryer vent. And one, if there's a clog, but two, if there's a hot humid air of draft going down the vent, because maybe there's no damper that shuts, or maybe there is a damper, but it doesn't seal very well.
Yep.
That hot humid air will go down the pipe. And if the dryer door is shut, well, now that humid air is trapped. So it starts condensating in the form of water droplets.
Sure.
And there's a couple other reasons. So right now we've been, you know, the CDEC class that we go through to get our certification, they don't have a class on humidity basics like an HVAC school would. So we've actually been watching some videos online from, I think it's called HVAC School. It's a YouTube channel that's actually based out of here in Florida, trying to educate ourselves about humidity and being able to wrap our minds around that so that we can not only better solve problems, but even more importantly, being better and more effective communicators to our customers. Because if we can't explain something effectively to a customer in layman's terms, then it just doesn't make, it not only doesn't make us look bad, but it can create frustration or animosity if they can't understand what we're saying, if you get what I'm saying.
Yep. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. The way, like, I always tell my guys, it's like a rule of three. Like if you have a customer who's upset, it's usually doesn't take like, oh, we, you know, did one thing wrong. It was like, you showed up late, or you got out of your vehicle and like a soda can fell out on their driveway. And then you rang the doorbell and you're, you know, scratching your groin and you're picking your nose or whatever, you know, it's like, you're just, you're not being appropriate. And so
yeah.
There's so many little things, the way you drive into someone's house, the way you knock on the door, are you taking a few steps back? Like, there's so many little things that go into servicing someone's home. They're inviting you into their most like private space. Like, this is my home.
Oh, yeah.
And you're a complete stranger and it's like, come on in. And so like you need to treat it that way, that it is a really privileged experience. And yeah, explaining things to people. And unfortunately, the average homeowner every single day is becoming less aware of the appliances and how they work and what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it, all the things, because people are just, we are becoming a society that's more specialized, and other cultures have beat us to that. Like India is one example where they almost outsource everything. You know, if you're in the Indian culture, because that they get really great at like one thing. And that's a lot of reason. One reason why a lot of people who have immigrated to America and are Indian, they get paid a bunch of money because they're really good at like math. Or like really good, yeah, at like science, whatever it is, because they specialize on one thing. And I think that is where America is going. And so for anyone that is in the home service industry, I feel it's a very safe long-term career path, because it's not going anywhere. Houses are becoming more complex, they're becoming more difficult to maintain, all these things. And it's for sure, I'd say, you know, as long as you're willing to go out and put the hustle, Nate and I were talking about that a little bit before the call here. Like, if you're willing to go out and grind and you're willing to do it, like the work is there. And sometimes, you know, interest rates are high or it's election year or whatever, you know, sometimes it's a little more difficult to be as busy as you'd want to be, but if you're willing to grind, like you can always survive through that. And I think long-term, every day that goes by, there becomes more of an opportunity for people to excel in the home service industry. If you're willing to put in the work that, especially what you've done, Nate, here, to just educate your team, show the customer, educate the customer. You're doing way more than a typical person. And I get to interview a lot of people on this call, and you're doing way more. If every single person in the home service industry was doing what you were doing, it would be a very different world for sure. So kudos to you on everything that you're doing here. It's very impressive to hear your story. So
yeah, the home service industry is just another way of saying trade industry. You know, if people want job security, learn a trade. Or learn multiple trades. You're guaranteed work if you learn a trade, and you're going to be more handy around your own house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if I can make one other remark about how I got so much business or what have you, you know, aside from our customer service, I know for a fact that I have taken an incredible amount of business from my competitors because of the added value that I bring with the other half of the service, the dryer cleanout. Sure. So for any dryer vent guys out there who want to either A, increase their ticket sale, B, or also I actually make their clients' home safer, you will absolutely start, if you provide that service, you will, when people hear about you providing that added value, you will absolutely start taking business away. And I know that because people have said, oh, I used to use so-and-so, but I switched to you because A, I heard good things about you, and B, you do the entire service, you do the dryer clean out. So that's another reason why we've gotten so much business, is because, again, we provide more added value.
Awesome. That's awesome, Nate. If people are wanting to find you online, how do we find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook. I'm just a Facebook search away, natesdryervantcleaning.com. I'm on Instagram. We post usually daily stories and other content, both on Instagram and Facebook, that's quite informative or eye-raising. And then, of course, our YouTube channel, Nate's Dryer Vent Cleaning, and then the website. I do try to put out very informative blogs, at least one blog a month, one of which I have a blog about, which I need to update, about the why and the how about condensation and dryers and dryer vents. So that can be on natesdryervantcleaning.com.
Awesome. Well, Nate, thank you very much for taking the time to tell us about your story on the Home Service Pro podcast. We'll catch you next time.
Appreciate it, Daniel. Thank you.